I think one of the surprising elements has been how quickly the team has adapted and become expectant of efficiency. So as soon as you take some of the mundane repetitive tasks off their plate, then they look at all of the other mundane repetitive tasks that are still on their plate and go, can you do that? And it builds this culture of expectation around technology, which I think is going to move us forward.
What do the world's best CROs have in their playbooks? This is the place to find out. This is Reveal, the Revenue AI podcast by Gong. I'm your host, Dana Feldman.
Welcome. Good morning. And for everyone that is online with us, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. I'm Dana Feldman, and I have the privilege of leading our enterprise sales team here at Gong. Without a doubt, one of my most favorite things is getting the ability to go and spend time with customers and really deeply understand some of their revenue goals, what they're trying to achieve, what obstacles might be in the way, and then also what are the tools and technology that they're trying to use and meld together with the human element to get there. And I'm really excited because today we have a customer panel where we're bringing three incredible enterprise clients to tell their story to all of you. But additionally, I also have the privilege of being the host of our podcast called Reveal. And this is where we get to interview some of the world's most renowned CROs and actually understand their playbooks. And you get to hear what they're doing and actually take lessons learned. So with that, I want to welcome up my guests and we are gonna get this conversation going. All right, well, let's kick it off just a couple minutes for quick intros and then we'll get into some of the questions. So first I have Kate to my left here. Kate is the Vice President of North America Sales for the Sales Solutions Division at LinkedIn. She's behind the teams of their flagship product, Sales Navigator, one of the great loves of my life in my sales tech stack. And previous to that, Kate was the CRO at Calendly and at Glassdoor, and I think this is third time Gong customer at this point, yes? So welcome, we're so excited to have you. In the middle here, we have Sarah Anderson from Workday. Sarah is Principal Global Sales Engagement at Workday. She is very, very passionate about bringing people and process and tools together. And as part of Workday's global engagement or sales engagement org, really, really passionate about getting that behavior change. And she's been really crucial in their AI strategy. So welcome, Sarah. We're so excited to have you too. And then rounding it out with Joe Burkott from Amazon. Joe is a strategic leader at Amazon Advertising. And she's driving their tool strategy and their go-to-market initiatives, making sure that the sales teams are empowered, they're innovating, they're growing. And she also has been very, very critical in their AI strategy at Amazon Ads. So welcome, Joe. We've had an incredible morning around AI, and both Shane and Amit touched on how we're really moving past the AI hype. And I think one of the things that probably a lot of you want to really get into is, but how are companies actually executing with AI? So I'm going to kick us off with the first question, and I would love, Kate and Sarah, for you guys to take this first. How are you guys using AI in your teams today and in your companies?
Yeah, thanks so much, Dana. Great to be here. Appreciate Gong hosting us. So as you think about AI, of course, at LinkedIn, we're infusing AI into all parts of both the platform and our business. And you know, we like to say that we've planted 100 seeds across the company on AI initiatives or new technology initiatives. I think this is a really interesting moment as a revenue leader inside LinkedIn, but as a revenue leader, generally speaking, we're being asked to do two things at once. We're being asked to deliver, certainly in the present, this quarter, this year, this fiscal year, there's still a very high degree of intensity on performance, but we're also getting the questions from our leadership teams, from our exec teams, and from our boards around our AI strategy. What is your AI strategy? And so what we've found is, you know, that's sort of almost impossible to know right now. We're in such early innings of AI. And so what we're encouraging and sort of like our hack for this is to just find your AI win. Like, what are the one or two simple habit-changing things that we can encourage with our teams over the next, like, 6 months? And so that's been our mentality as a revenue leadership team at LinkedIn is, like, what are these simple, like, I can click a box and be more prepared for this meeting, or I can click a box and understand more about this lead. And so we've looked for those wins as a part of our strategy. You know, to bring it into real life, what we're actually doing, of course, we're using Sales Navigator, and it's been reimagined with a bunch of these AI features that make it really easy to find the right person and have the next best conversation. But then once you have those people, we're also using Gong, of course, to get really, really prepared for that conversation and understand where we've been. And so those are just two examples of, like, in the flow of work, we're not asking anyone to do something completely different as a part of their job, but we're giving them the ability to harness the little magical moment of AI so that they get used to it and they understand the power of it so that when we're ready and the world figures out what we're going to do with all this technology, they will be bought in to the process. So that's broadly how we're thinking about it and what we're using, you know, finding the win and these simple ways to build habits with our team.
Yeah, I definitely think it resonates around the idea of having existing workflows that you're plugging AI into versus creating whole new ones and trying to get a win on both ends with the teams. Sarah, talk to us a little bit about what's going on in your world and how you guys are using AI over there.
Yeah, from an enablement lens, we really don't have the luxury of time. So specifically recently, and Workday has been using artificial intelligence now for about a decade, a little more, but we owe to our customers to bring the best sales force where it's not just a buzzword. We need to bring tangible results. So specifically from an enablement lens and in a like new down market and sales organization that we recently launched, we've been focusing on how can we leverage and harness that superpower for velocity in our deals, bring more prescriptive and a point of view to our sellers to where they can truly understand where their client is coming from, how we can help them sell better, faster, stronger, and make it easier for customers to buy from us. So it's really giving more fuel into that engine that is that key revenue driver, which is our sales organization.
I think Bradford from Reddit just a minute ago on stage said something really interesting, right? He said, you've got to earn the right to ask for change. And I think as we really get into this world of AI and introducing AI to our teams, change management is something that we all really need to be thinking about. And so I'd love to spend just a couple minutes, Sarah and Joe, learning from you a little bit about kind of what was your approach with change management, with bringing AI into your organizations and really getting the buy-in behind it. So I might start with you, Sarah, and then go to you, Joe.
Sure. Yeah, so I think it's been a common theme earlier that sometimes there's some disparity between an initiative or a directive and the reality of how it's going to be adopted and absorbed in the field. So again, bringing that enablement lens and understanding that enablement is not the initiative, it's the outcome we want to achieve. My role is to identify what do we want our sellers to know, how do we want them to feel, and what specifically do we want them to do based on whatever this directive or initiative is. And we have to ensure that we can translate it. I sometimes say I'm the Rosetta Stone between corporate initiatives and the field and truly align with the sales leadership, our sales organization understanding. And I usually ask two questions in rolling out to drive adoption and behavior change. How is it going to help them sell better, faster, stronger? And I kind of referenced it earlier. And how is it going to help our customers have an easier access to work with us? And if we can narrow down some big idea or initiative can be very attainable. So an example in a story in implementing Gong, I mentioned earlier, we recently just launched a smaller down market sales organization. And imagine a group of sellers, a lot of them all at once, on a stranded island, and there's this directive and initiative and revenue goal kind of out in the middle of the ocean. And we needed to figure out a way to bridge those gaps and identify getting our sellers from point A to point B. And lo and behold, we have a boat on the shore. And we can use that as a vessel to get us from where we are to where we need to be. But we don't have the luxury of the winds and using a sail. We need to row, and we need to be effective, and we need to be efficient. So our sales methodology we knew worked. We'd seen it in our other segments, and we knew we needed to get that in the hands of these emerging sellers so that they could be successful and move in the direction towards that revenue goal. So we found out, and Shane stole a little bit of my thunder earlier about the impact leveraging the principles of sales methodology, but we saw just in a little over one quarter, almost two quarters, when we looked at the opportunity health of closed deals, our sellers, by instituting and leveraging the power of AI and Gong, closed at a 30% higher rate when they mentioned the seven principles in the sales methodology, and their deal sizes were 136% larger. So those are powerful numbers, truly connecting to how it's going to impact a seller's performance, I think is a lesson we've learned in driving an initiative and behavior change.
It's incredible. That's some incredible results. I think too, you know, really thinking through when you're about to implement an AI strategy, like what's in it for the company, what's in it for the end user, and then also what's in it for the customer, right? Where does this get better with the customer relationships too? And then of course, saving the sales team from having to manually enter things too is always a win. We'll go for that. Joe, I'd love for you to chat a little bit about your experience at Amazon and implementing AI.
And I like what you said about the enablement being the outcome. I think that's really, really resonates with me, so thank you. I think of this definitely as a narrative that starts at the top and how we talk about the change coming and what we expect of people. And I think this may sound a little cliche, but I have to, in my role, remind our leaders, and that means not just sales leaders, this is product leaders, finance, et cetera, that, you know, sales is an art. And it's a science, and we should help with that balance where we can. And while we can do things like automate workflows and sales motions and data and Salesforce entry, all the things that we've talked about today, what are we doing with that extra time that you're helping your reps be more balanced? So where are you helping with their art? How are you using what you have, not just to sell, which is our their job, I get it, but they're there because they have relationship building skills. They are there because they have, you know, what they bring to the table that's unique and what makes them successful. So while I'm driving automation and these other things, I'm also reminding our leaders that often that it's your team that's going to get you over the line. So I think a good example of that is being out in the field. I hear often like, oh, I got to get home, or I'm on their, you know, they're on their phone doing their LinkedIn updates and Salesforce because they, Monday morning, they have to make their call and they need to show all their meetings and things. And I said, Sunday afternoon, you should be at brunch or I don't know, whatever you're doing, not entering things. So, you know, when a rep says to me, Joe, you know, what have you, how many hours of selling time did you give back? I said, hey, look, I'm reminding them, oftentimes this is about a balance. You're supporting your reps. We'll help with automation, but where are you helping them be a balanced seller and have that time? So just that they're people first, and I think that's a good reminder in the narrative as we're just pushing a lot of tools that they all should help too.
Just taking a kind of a different lens on change management, I think change management is the topic right now for all of us as leaders as we embrace the evolving world of work. And our research tells us that not only is the world evolving very quickly, but that the skills that will be required, of course, are different. So we did a whole bunch of data work against the skills that are listed in job recs today and what will exist tomorrow. And for sales specifically, in sales roles, we think somewhere between 60 and 70% of the skills, that's sort of like jobs to be done of a seller, will be at least augmented, if not completely replaced by AI. So if 60% of your job is going to be at least different, you know, you're looking at a completely different role type and a completely different set of skills that will be required or emphasized into the future. How we're thinking about change management at LinkedIn is we're assessing the skills that we have today on the team and the technology that we have today and where we're going, and then what skills will we need in this new world where the job itself looks very, very different. So we're doing a whole bunch of skills-based curriculum around that, really emphasizing two categories of things, human-based skills and AI literacy. I think the combination of those two looks like modern selling. And so we've rolled out this curriculum. We've made coaching available on these topics to all of our employees and to our team. We think this is really like the strategy, the skills-based strategy to take us into the future as it relates to change management. And then just building on what's been shared, it has to start at the leadership level. So there's been a call to action across our leadership team to be out in front on using new tools and new technology and talking about how we're using them and embracing that and running towards this future instead of being a little bit anxious about it. And so, you know, as a leader, the combination of leading on this, being open, being a little bit vulnerable that it's new, and that we're all learning together, and then really infusing this skills-based curriculum as part of our strategy, too.
I think, too, we have the change management in terms of how are we rolling this out with our teams, but AI has quite a bit of hype behind it. And there's also this change management idea of how do you get buy-in from the tops down at your organizations? How do you actually communicate that back through the channels, get those various leaders to understand it? And so I'd love to kind of go around and hear a little bit more from y'all on how you've done that at your organizations, getting the tops down, communicating, and really getting them comfortable with AI. So I might kick it off to you first.
Yeah, I think going back to how I opened, a big part of this is like chunking it out and keeping it simple. And so if you have some grand vision and you're going to implement a whole bunch of technology and we're going to dramatically change in 12 months and I'm going to promise a whole bunch of productivity gains in the first year, I think you're setting yourself up for failure. So how can you work your way into this through pilots, through testing, through experimentation, and prove and get the results, you know, that we heard from the panel that like these are astounding results. And if we can scale these, this is really going to matter for us. Internally for us, we've looked at a couple of different use cases for Gong specifically, and we can see that when Gong gets used and certain features inside Gong gets used, just like my fellow panelists, the return is pretty good. And so that's the story that gets told. It's not part of like this grand complicated strategy though. It's like these, again, these simple wins where we're trying to give some time back to our team. We're trying not to overpromise on the productivity gains that that might yield yet, because we think it's going to take a few years for that really to click in. So, you know, keeping it simple but pointing to real life experimentations would be my guidance on it.
And you certainly are in a culture and an environment at LinkedIn where, and you just said it, you all want to get in front of this as leaders and really embrace it and test and be vulnerable about what that means. So I think that certainly helps too, to have that cultural behind you too.
Yeah, it's a huge culture of experimentation.
I might want to add on to what Kate was saying. So I like the basics. We've kept it simple as well and feel like kind of decided what muscles matter. And one of those is and determining of our salespeople, but then of course our partners, what's in it for them. If only sales team uses it and nobody outside of the sales team uses it for what they need, how is that really helping the bigger org and ultimately the customer, like you said? So we've really dedicated a lot of time to automating the workflows and sales motions, but then we've given access to our internal teams to automate and improve their own workflows down the line as well. So we didn't just keep it, you know, to ourselves. And outside of product, I would say finance is a big customer of ours as far as our data set. And really by having our sales teams focus on getting their calls recorded, like literally the basics, we've been able to build our integrity of our data downstream, which has had, you know, maybe we don't even know the number yet, like the impact to that. And, you know, it saved minutes of time for the reps, but it really has a really cool trickle effect that has been really fun to watch. And now how many times I get a knock on my door, like, how many Gong calls do we have? And how do I get in there? And it's fun to see champions and other teams and watch innovation happen from the actual calls that were coming. And I think Bradford, I like what you said about what Bradford said. I think it feels like we're in the first phase, but I also think this is where our core is. If we get really good at just recording calls, we can start to really measure quality over quantity. I think that's the goal.
I know one of the operating principles at Amazon is test and measure, which is where I know a lot of this began many years ago with your team. But I'd love if you have any kind of best practice around, as the test and measure became successful, how did you get that buy-in from the tops down across the organization around an initiative with AI?
I'm a big believer in carrot over stick. And my second big belief is FOMO. It is big, so
as FOMO.
FOMO, big time, so fear of missing out for anybody. I didn't want to make my job racing around and chasing people and log in and you only have 10% of calls. You know, I'm selling sellers, right? So I needed to, and if I believe that's the core, which I do, I had to flip it and be, you know, I had people coming to me. And what I did wasn't just one thing. It's consistently showed the results of the team that tested it. Constantly in there and digging and never over complicating it. And because I think things can get lost if you try to show too many things. But it was keeping it simple, making it easy to onboard, looking for hand raisers. It is not something, you know, people, hey, what do we mandate? We have it. I said, you know, look, let's aim for proficiency of our users over everyone having to log in, because I just think that kind of messes with, you know, my earlier thought on quality. But if the people that are really leaned in can get really good at it, the results will happen. And then other people will be looking and being like, hey, you know, whether it be because of recognition or a higher quota attainment, which we've seen both, you know, I really wanted people to lean in to me versus me chasing around with the stick. So I think that's been really
I think the common theme that I'm hearing too, to get that top-down buy-in, is if directive or we're leveraging an AI initiative is the superpower, the lack of alignment and collaboration is the kryptonite. And to be able to look at it and have an actionable way to get that directive into the hands and hearts and minds of a seller. The example of kind of being stuck on that island and needing to get to that revenue goal over a body of water. This sales organization and the sales leader, we made a clear directive that we had to work within a framework. We had to keep it simple. We couldn't have, I think I heard a reference earlier today, have a bunch of different instruments playing at the same time. They needed to build and blend a harmony. So if I had to give directives for anyone in the room, whether you're an enablement role or a direct revenue role or a sales leader, is I call it kind of build upon that three-legged stool to drive simplicity and a framework. One of our great sales leaders is here today, and he coined freedom within the framework. You can still have innovation and creativity, but if you don't know what vessel you're in, you're never gonna get to where you need to go. So we have a boat, that's what we use. You gotta get in the boat, you gotta bring others along with you, and that framework needs to be built on that three-legged stool of sales leadership perspective. Bring in your strategy and operations folks, because if they're not aligned, what the sellers need to do and how and the tools they're gonna use to get there are going to be playing the two different songs. And that last piece is to leverage, in my role, I've been really privileged to kind of bring a visibility to drive execution. You know, in talking about enablement as an outcome, we were able to start that with our initiative, build that framework of what worked for our sellers, have it not really be negotiable, and everybody gets in the boat, everybody's rowing, and if it's not making the boat go faster, then we're not doing it. And then, you know, that big bet, that scary goal that may seem crazy becomes more attainable. And in the South, I mean, we say, you know, we don't hide our crazy, we put it on the front porch and give it a cocktail. So you gotta lean in and embrace it, and you can synthesize that top-down directive to get some raving fans of sellers. And it's been really exciting to see, keeping it simple and working together with alignment.
Yeah, but you make a really good call too around the importance of bringing in your revenue operations team into this framework, your sales leadership into this framework, and really deciding on that before you go down this path, which I think is imperative. I'm curious, as all of you have gone down this journey with implementing AI, surprises, like in a great way, or you know, anything that you weren't thinking about, but then as you started to roll it out and it surprised you. Anything come to mind?
Touching on the point of the reality of evolution of the workforce, I think what surprised me the most is I think, you know how fear or upfront, when you don't know something, that's more scary than if you just get bad news, right? So I think a lot of times it was this mysterious word of AI, and there was a little bit of fear, I think, especially from a seller, either of something they didn't understand, am I gonna be replaced? And instead of looking, you know, the carrot analogy versus the stick, I was pleasantly surprised at when you boil down and you just help people understand the core value of how it impacts not just educational things or how it's gonna help them in their job, but the impact it has on that middle layer of how they feel from an engagement lens. It made it so much, I don't wanna say easier, but it made the mission, it was never about do we get in the boat and where are we going? It's like, are we gonna have the fuel to get there? So it took away any of that fear and roadblocks just by helping connect the value of like the human thinking versus just an economic directive, so.
But I mean, it's true, and even to the point where the initiative at Workday that y'all rolled out was also about how to make sellers' lives better, easier, give them back time, right? And so to your point about how do you tap into that engagement level from the sales teams, right? That's huge when you're actually giving them a tool that will give them back those things to go do more selling, which is what we love to do, right?
Yeah. So at Workday, we kind of call it our AI initiative is like having a little robot sidekick, like Superpower Betty, you know, and you can choose to augment and embrace it or go on your own. And we've just found going on your own is not as successful, so.
Any other surprises to share? If not, we're gonna go into some wow moments, but I'm just curious as you've kind of ventured down AI, any surprises?
I'll just give a really quick one. I think one of the surprising elements has been how quickly the team has adapted and become expectant of efficiency. And so you roll out some of these tools and things get a lot
it's
easier.
It's an Amazon world.
It's the one click to order. So as soon as you take some of the mundane, repetitive tasks off their plate, then they look at all of the other mundane, repetitive tasks that are still on their plate and go, can you do that? And it builds this culture of expectation around technology, which I think is good and moves us forward, but that was probably a little bit surprising for me, how quickly we moved through that.
Well, I was gonna say, our RevOps folks in the room and online that our friends are like, yes, we feel this when you keep coming to us with more, but I love that. Anything come to mind for you?
I love that. I think that it does change the standard and how we think about things, but it kind of touched on it earlier. It's the wow moment for me was, you know, the other teams that wanted to be a part. I mean, we have internal teams that don't even talk to customers that want to use Gong for its efficiencies, but it's, you know, they want to use it to drive product conversations internally, even with other arms of Amazon. So in my mind, I'm thinking the sales use case and how do we take it and how do we do this? But truly, there's so much more value in just the collaboration. And while I knew that, it was so neat to see it. And that's by just opening it up and giving that visibility to everybody. I think that's been, I just feel like we're a better overall team. And that was a big wow for me because I didn't even consider that. I knew they'd want to see the calls or I can't remember the guy's name, but we too have a automation around our voice of the customer. So if the customer gives feedback, it feeds their product system. And I thought that they would think that's cool, but I mean, they're completely geeked out about it and now just want all the calls. So that was exciting for me.
Sarah, what about you, a wow moment over the last year or so to share with the audience?
I think it's seeing the connection between real results right away and being able to have that idea connected to tangible value for our customers. And I mean, I didn't realize how much effort and time goes in if there's a problem to solve, going from 40 days to hire a talent to having same thing accomplished maybe in 40 hours of gig work that we can leverage technology so that our teams can drive profitability, which is one of our pillars at Workday. You know, taking bias, I mean, really impacting the culture of a company, leveraging technology where needed and let the Swiss keep the time, let our sellers and humans and our leaders be leaders and take advantage of the time. Just seeing the impact it's had on our customers from financial proficiency to retention. The AI-driven model that we have has led to, you know, reduction in turnover and faster time to value with workforce and talent acquisition as well. So it's just so cool for me to see results with an idea. And trust me, I'm the warm and fluffy. I love the ideas of ideas, but you know, at the end of the day, we've got to convert opportunities or leads to opportunities, opportunities to wins. So that super excites me that we can connect those dots.
So are you guys are actually tracking it to the workforce reduction as well,
yes,
the stat in that too?
Through talent, through That's financial great. Proficiency. It touches every area of your culture. And if you can help in your role connect those dots, and again, see AI as a superpower, not a tool, it's not a SKU. It should be embedded, and it will be at some point, into everything that we do. So put that crazy on the porch and give it a cocktail and have fun with it and drive results.
I love it.
What I about will be you? Stealing that.
Yeah, I know. Put your crazy on the porch, give it a cocktail. What about wow moments for you over the last year?
Yeah, I guess a quick story. So we did a customer event maybe 2 months ago in New York. And after the event, there were a bunch of LinkedIn employees that went to a dinner to kind of celebrate the event. And I ended up sitting across from one of our wonderful frontline managers. And we just stumbled into this conversation where she started telling me about all of the tools that she has proactively sought out and is using and leveraging as a part of her leadership and managing her sales team. And she was basically saying, you know, I've cordoned off all the administrative work, all the reminding, all, you know, there's so much reminding as a sales leader that you have to do, especially on the front lines. And I've automated most of it. And I'm using this tool and that tool. And I just sat there in awe because this is a person that wasn't given any real training to do that. A person who was given access to tools and then proactively took it upon herself to give herself a new skill, to learn the tool, and to use it to her benefit, to seize the opportunity that technology is presenting to us. So kind of going back to what we've all been saying is like, you know, you have this moment where you can say, I don't want anything to change. And then you sit across from someone who is fully embracing the change, has a growth mindset on display. And I just couldn't have been more proud of her because that's what we all have to do. And our employees are going to lead us. You know, our employees are way out in front on using this stuff versus, you know, where corporate strategy is as a general statement. I had this moment where I was like, this is the future, you know, this is growth mindset happening right in front of me, and this is what it's gonna take to be successful in the next 5 to 10 years.
Love it. I love it. Singing my song. Well, thank you to all of you for being part of this discussion. That is going to wrap our keynote for this morning. Thank you all for joining us today and telling your story. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for joining us for this episode. Follow Gong on LinkedIn for our tactical takeaways from this conversation, including the best plays to add to your playbook. And be sure to follow the show to never miss an episode.